Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right, welcome to this week's episode. It's a fun one. It's a light one because we have the homie. Sheikah is here and we do a shit that hits different. This episode, we focused on the movie The Brothers. The Brothers, often not mentioned in the black classic movie conversation, but Sheikah and I checked it out. Of course, we had to break it down. I'm curious to hear other people's thoughts after you listen to the episode and hear what Sheikah and I say. But, you know, after we wrapped up that discussion about The Brothers, then, you know, we just did a normal girlfriend kiki. So stick around for that conversation. Next is pick of the week. And this is pick of the week. Was escaping through my hands, and I was so happy to finally get it. I was in South Florida, the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area for work, and I was able to get my hands finally on a bottle of Via Ray, Issa Rae's Prosecco. In my area, I've been going on her website and putting in my zip code, and a few of the liquor stores who said they carried it had they said they only got 10 bottles and it sold out right away and they've never gotten a reshipment. They said it would be months before they could restock. And so I had pretty much all but given up on trying it because it's just fucking bottle of liquor and I'm not going to do it. But I do want to support Issa Rae is the homie in everybody's head. And you want to support a black woman in the spirits industry, et cetera, for all those reasons. Now, I am in South Florida for work. I'm in the Target. Turn, look down the shelves. Oh, my God, they sell alcohol in here, beer, wine. Great. Look, they had it. And they had 10 bottles of it. So I grabbed two, popped it open. And, you know, I got to be honest, you guys. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't amazing either. At a $20 price point, I'm going to need a little closer to amazing. So for me, it won't be any replacement to a La Marca. I feel like La Marca is just such a great Prosecco. So it's not replacing La Marca, but you know, if it got easier to get and it wasn't such a fiasco to get, maybe I would buy it every now and there, but it would not be a staple. So you guys know I have to give my honest and true opinion. Good, not great. $20 price point. You can get better. But what I do want to say, Maryland has got to change our liquor laws. It just is so, I hate it. When I travel other places, I can go in the CVS and the Target and the grocery store and just get beer and wine. Some places, depending on where you go, you can get alcohol. California, I was in the gas station. They were selling alcohol and beer and wine. So it's just why is Maryland so archaic with these liquor laws and where you can purchase and not being able to get it on Sunday? It's just... It's time for a change. Who do I write? Get our hot boy Governor West on the line because we got to change these liquor laws before he goes for president.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
All right. Feedback from episode 249, Thriving After Beating Cancer's Ass with Erica Easter. There was a lot of comments about, first of all, I was shocked at how many of you never heard the term Eskimo Sisters. But yeah, Eskimo Sisters, for people who still listen, did not know, did not DM me, did not message me in the Patreon Discord. Eskimo Sisters or Eskimo Brothers are people who have fucked the same person. That's literally all that is. So yes, me and my guest had fucked the same person. But that was not the crust of the episode, but there was a lot of commentary around that. So if you did not check out last week's episode, it is such a deliciously responsibly ratchet episode. It's the perfect blend of responsible and ratchet. And that is the pennant of all that we do here. And so if you did not check out last week's episode, please go back right after this one and just keep listening. Keep listening and go back and listen. Also, if you're listening to this on Monday, February 5th, if you are in the Baltimore area, if you're in the DC area, the DMV area, you can catch me. You know where you can catch me? You can catch me. No, I was going to do the nerd Rihanna song, but no. You can catch me on stage doing a small Boonie Live segment at the Sex Ed Pop-Up, okay? Sex Ed Pop-Up here in Baltimore. There are virtual tickets. You can head on over to sexedpopup.com to get your tickets. She has really great sponsors. Vanessa from episode 248. This is her event. She has some great sponsors, some great giveaways. There's some other amazing guests. People who've been on this podcast, probably some of the other podcasts that you listen to. There's some people who I've been dying to have on the podcast to get to meet. I'm looking forward to meeting them in person as well. I'll be sharing merch. So if you are Boonie Breakdown Ratcheteer Gang, you know, go ahead and wear one of your shirts to the event. And I hope to see you all there. Also, Patreon gang, we are having a Galentine/Palentine's Day little kickback over on Patreon gang on Monday. Was it Monday the 12th? Monday the 12th? It's fucking next Monday. Yeah, Monday the 12th at 8:30 p.m. over on the Patreon platform. So if you want to kick it and hang with us, you can go ahead and sign up at patreon.com/theboonie breakdown. I know I have not dropped the book. It's for our book club and I'm looking right at it. And I have not dropped it yet, but it is on my to-do list. I promise y'all I'm doing that this week. It's just like the days just like fucking escape. I need a fucking assistant. I don't know how. But excuses, but it's coming. Also, you know, share this episode. Put it in your Insta stories. You can follow us on social media at The Boonie Breakdown. We're that on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, if you want to follow us on Twitter, even though that page is like dying. I barely tweet over there, but at Boonie Breakdown is where you can find us on Twitter. So that is it for me. Let's get it ready to break it down. All right, the homie Sheik is here. Look, we're not wasting no time. Hey, girl.
How are you?
Tired. So tired.
I am too. I'm ready to retire.
Girl.
Every day.
And I look like technically we got like 20 more years.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. I think about retirement and the fact that I have 20 years to go. And it's just
like I'm just like, I need the lottery. Like, I need some windfall. I just need it because I'm like, I've already worked for two decades. I don't want to work for two more.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I am done. I'm over this shit.
I've been working since I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
I tried my first job at 14. Like I'm over it.
I've definitely been working since 16. And it's like, all right, well, I've done enough. I'm this is it.
Should it be enough?
This should be enough. Why do I have to keep going? So, and then I was like, damn, mad responsible because I was like, I was asking people like, oh, how much do you contribute to your retirement? Right. Cause I was like, I feel like, I think the max, if you max it out, is like $22,000 a year you can do or something like that by the IRS. And I was like, damn, I'm definitely not doing 22. So I was like, maybe I need to do better. Cause like, if I put more money in now, maybe I could retire.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm over it.
Yeah, but then I also like hate having to use my money from now for the future. Like, yeah. I don't know where the future money comes from, but I just feel like it's not fair that I have to take away from today's fund for the future. Right. That's some bullshit. Yeah,
and I've been really intentional with like saving and stuff like that. And it's all because I just need to go out of here. I'm just ready to go on vacation. Like, I really don't. I mean, yes, save for a rainy day, but I really just want savings for vacations.
I mean, that's literally it.
In my pocket, which is like, okay, it's great that I can do that, but sometimes I want to just be able to take a stash from over here. And
a couple things that recently, like, are on my wish list, like, y'all know, like, I'm a accessories girl, and I was down on the TikTok today. And I had already seen this new Coach bag that I liked because Coach, it's really had a resurgence. So then I saw this other one, but I'm like, oh, it's nylon. It has Coach elements. But I was like, oh, this is a nice nylon because I've been looking for a tote bag. I used to have a ton of tote bags when I used to go to work. But now that I don't go to work, I don't have really a need for multiple big bags, but I do feel like I need like one that my laptop can at least fit in. That's cute. So I was looking for a tote bag, and then this tote bag came up. But now Coach done did, if you look, if you went like this real quick, you would think it was a Chanel bag.
yeah, like the quilted one. So I bought a Coach bag in October. It's a, the heart quilted one.
Oh yeah, those are cute.
Yeah, I bought that. Shit, that shit was like, what, $350, $375?
Yeah, like Coach, not cheap. The one thing about Coach, too, is the leather will last, right? Yeah. Like, I have a Coach bag from, like, 20.
They will fix it.
They will fix it. The cleaner will work. The leather cleaner and the leather conditioner, if you use that, they will fix your bag. And they stand the test of time. This one leather Coach bag, it's a hobo. It's white with a tan leather strap. Mm-hmm. And the strap broke. I've easily had that bag since 2008. And I took it to the store and they replaced, they like, the strap broke off the ring. They fixed it. Then charged me.
This
shit looked brand new again. So I'm like, yay. But I want this Coach bag. And so now I'm sitting here like, what can I do? Like, can I make this some type of reward? Because it's in a new... I'm already a fan of the Coach Tabby.
Mm-hmm.
I have the original run from 2020 with that Kelly Green that they didn't do again. Mm-hmm. And then I have a little mini white one that I got. Mm-hmm. But this is it. I'm showing. I just pulled it up to show you. Like, at quick glance.
Yes.
You think that's a Chanel bag? Now, Chanel done priced me out. Unless it's pre-loved, that's not happening no more. But... yes, I can't afford that stuff, but I could squeeze this out maybe. So
yeah, it's funny. Me and my homeboy yesterday was talking about like luxury stuff, and it was like, we was talking about like David Yurman jewelry. Oh, like, and then his ass went in the damn David Yurman store today. I was like, you motherfucker.
I do want a couple more David Yurman bracelets.
Yeah. I've been looking at things. You mentioned a tote. I wonder what my work bag is. I had one from Cole Haan. A leather bag that could fit my laptop and stuff in. Maybe it's in a closet. I haven't been to work since February 2020, so I have no idea where the fucking bag is.
The only reason why I know what I did with the bulk of my big bags, some of them were like cheap ones from Target. Some of the ones that were more quality, I think I still have like two of them. But the rest I tossed out when I moved. That's why.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the only reason why I know I don't have a lot of them, because I tossed some of them. Like, I don't need these. And it was funny finding them, like, all my Metro pass and my MARC train ticket.
Yeah. And I would do the quilted ones by Marc Jacobs. Remember?
Oh, I love Marc Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah, I have a big purple one. I used to, like, when I used to go to New York a lot, I used to travel with just that bag. So
now I'm going
to
tell y'all something, but y'all better leave some shit for me. It's a couple pages that I follow on Instagram that will show when, and I tell you, with certain brands, you really don't ever have to pay full price. Unless it's something that you really want when they drop it. If you're willing to wait a season or two, or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they're going out and switching seasons, you can get a lot of this designer high-end stuff for cheap. And the one page is Chasing Luxuries. I can't remember the other one. I have to look it up. But Chasing Luxuries, they'll post in their Insta story all the time. So, like, if you're a shoe person, Manolo, Jimmy Choo, Mock and Mock, Amina, Tom Ford, they will post at least once a day. They're posting one of those is on sale somewhere, Manolo, and they'll be really discounted, like $1,000 shoe. You may sometimes, depending on your size, you get it for $200.
Oh, wow.
You're like deeply discounted.
Think about those Jimmy Choo combat boots we saw in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
Should have bought them. I hate them. Because they came out like different renditions years later, and now with inflation, them shits are like
they're high.
I was like, I should have bought them.
But yeah, that's my little tip. Like, if you look now, I'm be like, I should have remembered that, because I probably would have seen a pair cheap. But
yeah,
it's a lot of stuff, like certain designers, like the Chanels and stuff, you're not gonna see on there. But if you want a Fendi bag, you want a Gucci bag, YSL, Balenciaga, they will have them on that page. for the low low. Like the other day, they had a really nice YSL on one of them sites.
I see some Manolo Blahniks for cheap.
Yeah, they took it. They be showing them for cheap, and they're reputable sites. Sometimes it's like Bloomingdale's, Neiman's, Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll be like the overseas retailers. Now, when it's an overseas retailer, you need to be mindful of the duty tax. So some of these sites will be like no duties or duties included. But then some of them, you'll have to pay like 10% when it's delivered to you. They'll give you like a little duty slip. But it could still be a savings depending on how much and what the item is. So.
Oh, yes. I'm following now.
Yeah, they're good for that. So that's my thing. But it's just like, I don't, like, I think I'm just like tired. Like, I don't want to work no more, but I know I need to work.
Right.
But I want to do all the things and I want to go all the places and I want to buy all the things that I want. But my money don't go that long.
Yeah, I need it to be longer because we were just discussing trying to do a quick trip.
Oh, I know. And how does like time get away? But I will say I did look
because
Southwest had a sale today, like that ends tomorrow. But you know how they be getting you.
Yeah, because JetBlue had a sale too for like packages. And I was looking at some and I was like a Thursday through Sunday situation. It wasn't bad. But also I was like, I don't think this is really a deal either.
That's how I felt. Like, you just putting a deal on this. So, but I'm going to look some more this weekend.
I've been looking and I done fucked up because now all my Instagram ads are...
Are travel.
Yeah, are resorts and shit. And I'm like, this is only going to make me insane.
Want to go more.
Want to go. Yeah.
And I was just in Miami and the weather was so good.
Was it good? Well, you know what? We had, it was hot as fuck. Like, I went out on Friday.
Yeah, I was sad. I missed it here.
Degrees. So I was out and about for a little bit. Like, I even came home and then my homegirl was like, oh, our other friend was at this other bar. And I was like, I came home for 5 minutes. I was like, let me get the fuck back outside. Cause Lord knows.
Yeah, when I was
cold again. I'm going to be in here.
KG texted me and was like, oh my God, it's 76 degrees at home. And I was like, ain't that some shit when I'm home? I'm missing a good day at home.
This Sunday was decent too. Saturday, that was Friday. And then Saturday was decent too. Like, I did my grocery shopping Saturday so I could just stay home on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad everybody had some sunshine.
You ain't seen it since mother. It's been days.
No, I really, since I've been back, I haven't seen the sun. Like, I don't, the sun wasn't here Sunday.
It's been very sad for me.
Yeah, it's just been gray.
Yeah, because I'm up, you know, I wake up at like 5:15 to 5:30. So I watch the sunrise every day. And I was like, motherfucker, where is the sun?
But be mindful and be happy.
I am.
Yeah. The days are getting longer, though.
They are. That's one thing I do enjoy. Because I try to catch both actually. Sunrise and sunset. That's my thing.
The days are getting longer. And, you know, I love it for the end, but I hate when we hit the clocks again because the sun will start getting up earlier. So for me,
yeah,
who is not a morning person, I love that the sun is not up before 7 a.m. I love that.
I can't. Yeah, my body, biologically, I just get up early. I've always been someone.
Yeah, I don't know how y'all people. I am not a morning person. Like, I'm just so jealous. Like, sometimes, but while I'm like opening my eyes, and I'm not out of bed, but I'm opening my eyes, and they'll be like, Sheika has finished a workout. Sheika has walked 3 miles. Sheika, I'll be like, damn, I didn't even put my feet on the ground.
And that's the thing too, like, I love when the weather gets warmer. Like I was telling you before, like, I'm doing this 12-week workout challenge with this lady on YouTube, which she has really, really good workouts, like, because I enjoy lifting, but it's like I don't feel like I've gotten used to not going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll work out, I'll just do it in the house. I didn't bought an extra set of dumbbells. I feel like I'm about to buy another set, and I'm like, my basement, I'm about to have weights everywhere. But I like working out later is just so much harder for me. Like, and I used to be really, really strict. Like, oh, if I don't get my workout done by like 10 o'clock, I'm not doing it. And now it's just like, since I work from home so all the time, it's like, whatever. Like, if I try to get it done before 10, but it's been times that I have to work out at 11 or 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
On the work. But yeah, I'd be
so much done. Like before, I'm like, damn, I ain't even wash my face. She gets closed all three rings.
when I was going to the fucking gym, I would wake up earlier because I went to the gym on days I telework. I would wake up earlier than I did to go to the office. Like it got to the point that I was waking up at 3:30 in the fucking morning to be in the gym by 4:00 so I can be ready to log on to work at 5:30. And I was,
That is amazing. I don't have that in me. And it's so funny because I want to, like, I was like, I want to build that habit because sometimes when you get up early, you do get more done, right? And it helps me go to bed because I am such a night owl. Like, even though I'm right now yawning and shit, like, yeah, I'm gonna go to bed early. I will get a second wind at like 8:30 and just start something and be like, and last night it was me trying to do Boonie breakdown stuff and like plot out some things because I was like, fuck, I need to get on the good foot because it's February. So
quickly, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I would like to be a morning person, but
I go to bed though. Like that's the other thing.
You do. I don't.
Like would you that memory you sent me for 12 years ago? It was like she could must be asleep. Like fuck yes, I am. I be in the bed. Okay, I'm going to bed.
That's my thing. I was like maybe if I could do it like one day a week. Like if I know like Thursdays are the day that I get up early and I can do whatever. Because you know what I do like on the weekends or days that I'm off? I do like that I can do my workout in the morning and it's done. Yeah. But me, I will not get out of the bed to log on to work. So like if I'm logging on at 8:00, I'm getting out of bed at 7:30.
Right. Yeah.
And it's terrible because, yeah. And to compound on it, it's because I probably didn't get to bed until 12:00.
Yeah.
So to give me a full 7-8 hours,
yeah,
I lay in bed. I'm sleep till 7:30.
Yeah, and the only reason I didn't change my work schedule to work later is one because I love getting off work at 3:00. I don't give a fuck. Like at by 3:00, I'm done. Like 2:00, I'm like my brain. I do you know numbers. I'm a like financial analyst, so it's like. By 2-3 o'clock, I don't want to see another decimal point or dollar sign. So because I kept that hourly of getting up so early, I have
to go. That's fair.
To bed. My brain numbers, even when I was in high school, like if it got to 10:00 and I still had homework to do, baby's going to bed and I will wake up at 6:00 and finish my homework in the morning. My brain needs to shut off. So yeah.
That's hilarious.
All through high school I was doing it. My parents used to be like, what are you doing? I'm like, homework. I'm finishing it.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I'm going to try baby steps because I feel like that's the daunting part because I'm looking at all 7 days and I'm like, I know I'm not going to do it. So I'm like, okay, you can do it to get to the airport and you can do it to go to the braid sweatshop to get braids. So maybe if you just chunk it down and do it one day at a time versus saying all 5 days because the weekends, that's just not happening unless I got something to do. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do. That's my little commitment. I'm going to try it. One day a week, just getting up early. So,
and I do try to like, if my body wakes up at 5:00 on a Saturday, if I look at my phone and I see it's 5:00, I'll try to go back to sleep and at least sleep till 7:00. 7:00 is probably the latest I'll get up on the weekend. Because yeah. 5:00 on the weekend, it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
There's nothing to fucking do. Target doesn't even open until go to sleep.
They still got them short ass hours.
Shit, Wegmans doesn't open till 6:00. I'd be like, she could go to bed, sleep.
It's some ridiculous, more. Ridiculous. So, we said all that to say,
right? We've been just going off.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, we always do a shit that hits different. And the other day, I was watching a black movie on Max, HBO Max. And it, you know how they recommend something. And it was like The Brothers. And I was like, huh, I haven't watched that in a long time. So Takshika, we need to do a shit that hits different. The Brothers. Now, for all of you who don't know, because you're probably like, The Brothers, what movie is that? The Brothers is the movie that was with Morris Chestnut and Shamar Moore, D.L. Hughley, and Bill Bellamy.
Not confused with Four Brothers with Andre 3000.
Yes, not Andre 3000. So this one says, follow the hilarious path of four African-American men as they take on love, sex, friendship, and two of life's most terrifying prospects, commitment and honesty. Lifelong friends banded together to weather love's innate terrors and occasional triumphs in this brazenly comic yet painfully true exploration of the battle of the sexes. Amidst the career track, baseball, and bar hopping, the brothers love women, as many as possible, but a shocking revelation tests their friendship. So that was the description of the movie.
Description. Interesting.
Yeah. So I said, we always do this. We start with some of the comments. Here's my overall thing about the brothers, just to kick it off. It's never included for most people in Black classic cinema from that time period. What year did this one come out? This came out in 2001, right? So you around that time, you were having Best Man and Two Can Play That Game and all of them. But I never hear anyone talk about this one. So this feels like one of those ones to me where it wasn't a bad movie, but it's not a Black classic either.
It's not, I don't think it's considered a Black classic. I remember watching it multiple times young.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in a long time. So a lot of it was almost new to me in a way. I will say that while a lot of the rhetoric is dated, it's also not.
It was not at all. It was literally like watching, if you took all of the bro podcast and made them a movie.
And like watching your timeline sometimes when it's battle
your
of
timeline
on Twitter. I was like,
or conversations with friends, right? Like it was just all of that banter. Another thing just about the movie itself before we dive. To me, it was very, like, the pacing of the movie was very basic. And I say that in the sense that every scene they sequence with all the men. So if one was having a scene with his mother, the next two scenes were the others having scenes with their mother. We never met Terry Shamar Moore's parents. They were mentioned, but you never saw them. But it was like the one scene, Morris Chestnut was at his mother's house. And then they flipped to Bill Bellamy was at his mother's house. And then they flipped to D.L. Hughley at the nursing home. But it did that a lot. Yeah. Like, then they were in bed, and it was a scene with Terry in bed and Morris in bed. Like, that's how the movie went every time. Yeah. Unless they were together, each of them had their same scene replicated.
Like, whatever conversation they're having with their significant other or the woman they're getting, you know, yeah.
It was very, so that was just one thing about the movie itself. Yeah, so we will get into it. Two things I got to fucking state right here. Let the motherfucking record reflect on the Boonie Breakdown, episode 250. That Shamar Moore been fine my whole motherfucking life.
Whole life.
I was like, damn, I mean, that nigga is fine.
Great. He looked great. Yeah.
And his body's still like, you can see now, like when you look at him at present day, like he's aged. But the nigga's still fine.
Because I watch Criminal Minds and is it Criminal? Yeah, he's on
Criminal Minds. Yeah.
He still looks the same, basically.
Body's still like a 9-pack.
Yeah. I mean, Morris Chestnut, too. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, Morris Chestnut been fine my whole life. But like Shamar Moore, I got to Google how old he is because I had to go to his Instagram page while I was watching it. He's 53 years old.
I'm about to say he has to be at least, but he just
look at this,
right? Yeah,
like the
he just had a baby not too long ago, right?
He did have a baby.
Was it his first kid?
I want to say yes.
It was his first kid. Yeah,
yeah. But Shamar Moore been fine my whole motherfucking life. Morris Chestnut been fine my whole motherfucking life.
Yeah.
I said those are two fine men. Now Bill Bellamy could have held his own, but he ain't had the mustache.
Yeah, I feel like, and I think the last time we did this, I forgot the movie.
It was Love Jones.
Yeah, the Bill Bellamy. I feel like Bill Bellamy looks better older. Like, he didn't look bad young, but I just think he looks better now.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, to me, the odd one out was D.L. Hughley. Like, all the scenes where they were playing basketball, D.L. Hughley would have his t-shirt on, whatever.
Yeah, like, he was, like, the homie.
Like, he wasn't a sex symbol. Yeah. But, like, I will say D.L. Hughley has had a glow up with money and age.
But I must say, it was...
He wasn't ugly.
When it was a close-up of his face, he wasn't unattractive.
No, he's not ugly.
He had a good face. I guess maybe because maybe he wasn't so muscular. Maybe he was just like a naturally slim guy.
See, he had the eyes working for him.
T-shirt. Yeah, the eyes are really nice. That's what it was. It was the close-up. And I was like, you know, I forgot he had those eyes until, you know.
Yeah, it's the eyes that worked for him. But yeah, D.L. wasn't no slouch. No. But when you got Morris and Shamar, and then you got Bill, it was like, oh. But he wasn't a slouch, so I will say that. But I just had to say, I was like, damn, Shamar Moore, fine as shit. Okay.
Good in there. And it wasn't given, like, as corny. Like, even though at the little bachelorette when he was dancing, it was kind of giving me the flashback of fucking Soul Train.
I thought about that too.
I was like, oh, he's still got these.
When he sat down, he was like, it's a stone cold groove. I was like,
yeah.
No, he's corny as shit.
Corny, but handsome, nevertheless.
Yeah, he's fine. I also wanted to point out somebody, give her flowers. Vanessa Bell Calloway. I don't feel like her name gets brought up a lot about being fine. And when I was like, ah, she's fine too.
Fine.
And so when she was the therapist, I was like, she
also
fine.
Our whole life, which I forgot about. And I was like, he would have a fine ass therapist. Like, of course.
Yeah. RIP to Kim Porter.
Oh my God.
When she popped up, I was like,
he popped up. I was like, that's Kim Porter. And it just threw me, especially considering what's been happening the last 6 months or whatever. I was just like, oh, RIP.
That one blew me because I just never knew that was her in this movie. So
I'm like, I feel like she wasn't a popular name in the household. Like, Diddy and whoever he was messing with, but she wasn't like a name that we threw around like that. So that was shocking to see. And I was like, but it was nice to see too.
Last thing before we get into this plot. Tatiana Ali didn't have more of a career. She was also, I forgot her role in this too. I forgot she was the sister.
She looked great.
And it's, I'm like,
probably this fucking industry, like,
you just think she had the look. She could sing. She was a pretty girl.
Ooh, and I remember her song and her video. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, was it? What's the song?
I can't remember how it goes, but I can see the video. That's my fucking photographic memory. Like, I can
No, that's not it. Daydreaming?
I think it was. I can see the video, though, because I remember she had outfits and her hair was away, and I was like, ooh, I want to do that.
I think it's every day and night I think of you. Shut up, Kenny, because I know you're listening. You're probably like, why is she singing? Shut up.
Is it Boy You Knock Me Out? Was that the video?
No, I think this was it. It was Daydreaming.
Oh, Daydreaming with Peter Guns. Yes. And Lord Tariq. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at her, like, she...
But the same with, I mean, I know Maya Campbell had...
she had like drug and mental health issues, but...
But I just feel like a lot of the girls just from that era, once they aged out of being like little sisters, it was just a hard fit because it was like, I think too, back then too, it was probably tough from being a child star and then wanting to go and move forward and then you become like sexy and maybe that's conflicting, confusing.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this, like, she's did a few things, but nothing really noteworthy.
Except for recently doing Bel Air.
She was in Bel Air. But I'm saying, like, she did, it said Love That Girl, main cast seasons 1-3. I don't know what that is.
Love That Girl. Why does that sound familiar? Let me look that up.
The only thing I was going to say that I remember her being a part of after Fresh Prince, she was on Young and the Restless for like 5 years. I do remember that.
That was my mother's shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know I fuck with the Young Restless. And then she was on like that episode in Living Single because she was Khadijah's little sister.
Yes. I do kind of vaguely remember Love That Girl. Don't think I've watched it, but yeah, I remember like seeing these people. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember that much, but those were my notes about the people themselves.
Yeah.
Plot wise. Okay. It starts out with this dream. Morris Chestnut's character keeps having these dreams.
Right.
That a woman in a wedding gown is holding a gun at him because he is afraid of commitment.
Dare I say they're making him somewhat of a clairvoyant because it happened?
Because then at the end, here, whole girl.
Somebody is there with a wedding gown and a gun. So it's like, are you psychic too, my nigga? Like, what's happening?
That was interesting. This is another movie, and I think we talked about this when we did Love Jones, about how all of this rhetoric we get, and maybe we're saying this because we're on the other side by quite some years, but he was turning 29, and Morris Chestnut was turning 29. Terry was like, I'm 29 years old. It's time to settle down and love and happiness and all that other shit. And I'm like, 29 is not that old. Like,
I will say though, young Chica probably did think at 30 things would be way different. Like,
there's into the distance.
As it's almost 10 years.
That's 10 years, like, we're well on the other 10 side.
Years ago. But yeah, no, I think there was an idea, and I think it was common, the idea that you'll settle down, you'll do marriage and kids and shit like that by 30. Especially growing up in like the 80s and 90s.
I mean, it's definitely the case of the shouldas. Like, this is something I should do, I have to do, should. Yeah. But it's just so funny, like, how all of these messages are programmed into us. Like,
and that's where that's where we get it from, too.
It's
Society-wise, it was in our media, our movies, our... all the things we intake, it's like, yeah, this is where you should be at 30. And it's like, shit, life is just starting at 30 for real.
Listen, so
you got money, you could do a little
bit. That's gonna get real. Yeah, you got a little coin
you
there.
Really have fun. 20 so, yeah, is total fun.
I think this is what I took away from this movie and why it hit different was that it was a lot of these tropes and a lot of the should messages, right? The one that you should settle down by the time you're 30 and you're supposed to get married and do these things, even though Terry clearly did not really want to. Like I don't think he wanted to.
I think they all
had this fear of commitment. And then his girl, Bibi, it was like one scene when they were like having sex and she was like, I shouldn't be doing this with you before the wedding because I'm a good girl. And that came up like another time in that conversation with the girls about being a good girl and not a slut. And it came up with Gabrielle Union because they fucked on the first date.
Mention her, but yes, Gabrielle.
Oh, well, I'm getting to Gabrielle Union.
Right. But even in the married couple, she was like,
oh, yeah, she
dick is nasty. And I was like,
yeah, because I wrote that down when she was like, are you going to tell? She's like, because it's nasty. She was like, are you going to tell your daughter to suck dick? And he was like, yep, right after I tell her it don't give you cancer.
Listen.
But I was like, that was great to take the fear mongering.
She asked him, if I had a dick, would you suck it? He was like, yes, the fuck I would.
I laughed really through it,
I will say. I did laugh.
I did. Like, I don't think it aged terribly at all.
I agree.
Like, it wasn't cringy, but it was like, this is funny that these conversations 23 years later are the banter still of everyday life, right? On podcasts, yeah, on social.
For sure.
Yeah. And so that was funny to me because I was picking up all these little things. He was funny as shit. Then you had the quintessential storyline of the brother giving up on sisters and going to date the white girl.
Yes, that was that. Can I say, though, something that I felt that we are missing maybe a little bit more present day is that the whole movie did just out after the dream started with him at fucking therapy. And I was like,
it did.
Niggas need to go to therapy.
It did, because look what it did for his life.
I was impressed. I was like, you know what? I don't even remember the therapy portion of it, but he was actively going. When he tried to quit, his therapist was like, listen, sir.
You're not ready? Yeah.
Don't do this. Listen to me. But I thought that was so, I don't want to say brave, but I think it was just like not a thing that was really necessarily talked about, because it wasn't like they had him being like some type of crazy person, you know, crazy person. But it was like, no, he was really going to therapy, trying to figure out his shit. And I was
like, yeah, that's a good point that I had not harped on. But you're right. It starts with him in therapy, him consistently going to therapy and talking about it, disclosing to his girl that he was in therapy.
Yeah.
He did kind of use it against her when he was like, don't do this old reverse psychology bullshit on me. But he was actively trying to better himself. And look at the end, it helped him work through his commitment issue and get over Denise dating his father.
Yeah.
Now Denise.
It's funny to me.
Gabrielle Union. Well, back it up. Clifton Powell and Morris Chestnut being father and son was great casting.
I loved it.
The scene where he gets upset at the surprise birthday party and Clifton Powell get in his face, I said, there's some good casting there. Because for a second, I was like,
I'm still your fucking father.
Clifton and Powell always Jennifer Lewis
being mom and dad. I loved him and Jennifer Lewis together, too.
She says, thank hope. She goes, she's like, Stank Ho? She's like, no, Stank Ho. That was some funny shit. Jennifer Lewis, I feel like if you started a Venn diagram, she has played every Black actor's mother in some capacity in Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, I like her character, though. I do think it's so interesting because I do think she set them up with the whole trope was like, oh, if a man really loves you.
I was saving that for last, baby girl.
Oh, okay. Well, we can wait.
Because we got to get there. We got to get there.
Okay, because I'm actually, whatever. We'll get there.
Okay, we're going to get there because I was like, oh, wait a minute. So, Gabrielle Union, I don't understand why she has to talk through her teeth because she doesn't open her mouth. And when she talks, every scene, it's like, Don't touch me. Like, it's just like, open your fucking mouth. She does not open her mouth. Like, I can't think of what his name was. What was Morris Chestnut's name in this movie? It was Terry.
I have no fucking idea.
I can't think of his name, and I literally just watched it.
I just watched it a couple of hours ago. Like, it wasn't even that long ago.
Jackson, right?
Jackson, yeah.
You're like, Jackson. Don't throw it all away. Yeah, and we love each other, Jackson.
And how she talked in regular life, maybe.
But yeah, she does not. Every movie, it bothers me. Even the two can play that game. She was like, so don't get mad at me if you couldn't control your hand. Like, why don't you open your mouth?
Well, it did work and deliver us from Eva because she was just a bitch.
Bitch.
So it gave like she was just literally talking through her teeth because she was being mean.
She does not open her mouth.
I did not think that at all.
I was just looking at this movie, and I think it was clear to me because these are her old teeth also, right? Like her original teeth. So I was just like, oh, look at their original teeth. And then I was like, oh my gosh, she does it here. So I'm like, that's just her thing, I think. She does not open her mouth. So she's just like, yes, I am Gabrielle Union.
Maybe because I kind of talk low,
Nah, you open your mouth.
At the same, okay.
You open your mouth. It's open right now. She's just like, Jackson, come over here and kiss me. Like, it bothers me so much. It bothers me so much. Okay, so that was my only thing I wanted to say about her. Yeah. Jennifer Lewis broke down because they were having this whole little talk after the bridal shower she threw for Terry's girl, because Fred was throwing Terry's bachelor party, so she threw the bet. And I was like, this is funny because Terry ain't had no parents. Like, he was the only person who had no parents in the movie.
Where was his parents?
I don't know where the parents
maybe were. Maybe, I mean, you know, people's parents die young, you know.
No, she said it at the bachelor, the bridal shower. She said, thank you for showing this. Terry's mom was so happy. So they were alive. I guess they just didn't want to cast for it. They had no casting. She sits them down. Come on, girls, let's talk. And she's like, I'll tell you the secret. If a man really loves you and y'all cuddled up on the couch late at night and it's one piece of chicken left and he gives you
any food. Yeah.
And he gives you the last bite, that lets you know he loves you. So we see twice in the movie after she says that, BB is laid up with Terry and Terry eats the last piece of food. So she goes sad face. Then you see Denise after Jackson says, I love you. And she's like, oh, you going to eat that last piece?
He was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. Right in her fucking face. And I was like.
And then she was sad too. And then I just laughed because we make up all of these little colloquialism thingies about how a man really loves you.
But I'm gonna be honest, that shit seeps into niggas' brains as well, because I distinctly remember in my 20s someone that I was dealing with like was like about to give me something, was like, oh shit, no, that's my last. And I was just like,
I was about to say, bitch, but same. I remember distinctly.
Why are you
twice.
Being a child?
I remember twice. Because of anything that I forgot so much about this movie, but I did not forget that piece.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, I was definitely like late teens, maybe early 20s. And a boyfriend at the time, we were at TGI Fridays, and he gave me his last Jack Daniel's shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Shift moving mountains, okay? But then I also had a guy that I was dating and same thing happened. It was the last piece and he damn near flipped the fucking table over.
He still gave it to me, but I was just very much like, it was on his mind. That same sentiment, like, oh shit, I'm about to give her my last.
She can't have that last chicken wing.
I was just like, what?
No.
Niggas thought that too. They thought it too. And he did. It was, and it happened. Same person, it happened more than once. And I was like, yo, why is that?
That's your marker for love.
But also, are you afraid?
Maybe he was, Chica.
Fuck that.
Maybe he was. That was crazy.
Don't need to be afraid. Get the fuck out of here. I would get. And see, and that's the thing too, like, because if it was something and I had the last of, like, I wouldn't mind, and that would be the flip side of shit. Like, if I gave my last, it'd be like, oh, you, and I'm like, okay, well, grow up.
A thousand percent.
I was like, oh, wow, this is a thing where it's not, I don't think like that. But I was also like, oh, so you feel that I love you because, oh, okay, great.
No, I definitely had a guy damn near bust the table down trying to ensure that I did not get, like, that he was clear that he was eating the last piece. And I'm like, okay.
So sad.
It's so silly. So sad. But in that same scene, Tatiana Ali does something funny because she's like, you have to reject your pussy.
Jack your pussy. Yo, when she said that, when I tell you, I hollered, because I was like, I mean, yes, you do have to reject your pussy sometimes, but also it's not going to always work, because I got the sentiment of it, especially in the, I mean, though the mom and dad got married, like Clifton Powell and Jennifer Lewis got married like later on, but it is the idea of that. Okay, maybe I'm lying because I don't think I don't. Okay, I get the idea. I get the logic of sometimes, yes, you just really, your pussy is talking for you and you really want that. I mean, I'm not one to reject my pussy, I don't think.
Are you sure?
I mean, here lately, maybe I have. And not because of anything in particular. I just, you know, when she gets old in a way, like, it's like, I don't know, me and my friends were talking the other day. Shan had some cards and we were like asking questions. And like, not everybody can do casual sex. I get it. Not, and a lot of my women friends, that's not a thing. I am okay with it. Like, I don't it doesn't fuck with me mentally and emotionally as much as maybe it does other people, especially if you consistently have casual sex with somebody. I understand how that becomes complicated. So in that sense, I can understand the, you gotta reject your pussy. Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm not being maybe fulfilled, or maybe I'm not getting what I'm looking for. Like, yeah, I might be seeking a relationship, but I can also have casual sex. Like, to some people, that just doesn't make sense. And it seems like you're wasting your time having casual sex when this is something else you really want. Where sometimes I am of the mindset, I need to have sex. The
rest, you need your back broke the fuck out.
You know? Yeah, the rest will come when it comes. But I don't feel like, you know, God or the universe is like, bitch, you fucking, and you want a relationship, so you're not going to get it. Like,
yeah, I don't subscribe to that either.
Subscribe to that.
But I will say, you definitely told me put my pussy on, reject my pussy last week.
I did.
You definitely did.
I told you that for a specific reason. But I told you that in while also talking to myself.
Because I believe I had to go scroll while you was talking. I went and scrolled back up. And you said, well, but it could also be a nod from the universe to take things a little slower to see if your feelings are enough for the blank, you know?
And you put your pussy completely up. It's just saying,
you make sure. Reject. Here's
the thing. I'm going to say, as a person who indulges in casual sex, I don't regret any of it that I've done. Can I say that maybe sometimes I'm quick on the draw? Maybe. But I also don't feel like that is the reason why maybe me and somebody I'm casually having sex with, it's not a relationship. I don't think that, but I do think that, especially if I'm having spurts and not having sex, like, it'll be like, would I fuck? Yeah, fuck. Let's fuck. You know what I'm saying? And as I'm getting older, I just feel like a little bit more stingy just with my energy, because not everybody, because I do feel like sometimes if you do take a little bit more time, maybe you get to know the person a little bit more, you might come from, oh, I would like to fuck you, to like, I don't want to fuck you.
Yeah, no, I can be mature enough to say that is the case. That is 1,000% true for sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm putting a pin on this.
Okay.
To wrap this up. So this is what I'll say. This movie overall was funny. I think it aged well still. I don't think it's a Black classic, but it has a lot of the Black superstars from other Black classic movies. Yeah. But one of my favorite lines from this, she's like, it was Bill Bellamy and his mother. And he was like, I forgot how fucking funny that scene was. And he was like, Mom, you can't be mad because dad left a white woman. And he was like, yeah. He was like, she not white, she Hawaiian. She's like, anybody who not Black is white. He was like, Mom, what if she was Mexican? She's like, a white woman with a taco. He's like, no. What if she was Asian? He goes, a white woman who don't speak a goddamn English. Yo, that shit is funny as fuck. I don't know who wrote that line, but that shit took me out of here and I was dying.
No, that shit was hilarious. Because mom, oh, and that lady, I forget her name, but I remember her in movies back in the day. And yes. I really did enjoy her too.
She was like a comedian too, wasn't she?
Yes, that's what we probably know her from like a deaf comedy
jam. Yeah.
Something like that. But I agree with you that I don't think it aged terribly. Like, I did not cringe in the movie.
Any part of it, honestly.
I did not cringe. And I laughed out loud several times. I was like, oh, it was funny. And so I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, it was several times that I was like, you know what? This was funny.
Rewatched.
Yeah. So, if you have not checked out The Brothers, it's on HBO Max. If you haven't watched it in a while, no black classic, but it's still a funny, funny watch. Now, I'm coming back to what you was talking about. Putting your pussy, rejecting your pussy. Maybe that's going to be the episode title.
I like that.
So, it's this overall trend that I hear from a lot of women our age who are exceptionally horny, like exceptionally horny, and would love to be fucking all the time.
Yeah.
However, have no interest or desires to engage with members of the opposite sex. If they're hetero, to get the sex, right? Like, I want the penis sometimes, but sometimes it's not even worth the interaction to get fucked. And
yeah,
I know a lot of women who are struggling with that, myself included, where I was like, you know what? I sent out a unsuccessful Friends with Benefits invitation. I'm gonna send out another one because I have to find someone while I'm still looking for a partner. Like, I have to find someone I'm fucking regularly and who can fuck me good.
Yeah, so I felt like you had kind of had a friend with Benny's for some years. Like, you had
I do. They're still there, but I can't get the consistency I want.
That you want. Yeah. So that is difficult.
So yeah, I need consistency across the board. I need consistency when developing a relationship, but I also need some consistent good dick.
Yeah. I'm open. Oh God. It's so crazy because it's like, I feel the same way, but I'm also willing. Like, I've tried. I went on 2 dates in December with, you know, different people. And I was just kind of like, I didn't even get to the point of feeling like, oh yeah, I would have sex with you or I wouldn't. I no longer speak to one. The other one kind of like, you know, when I told him like, yeah, I don't think we mesh well. Whatever, he was like, oh, can we be friends? And I was like, sure.
No,
I said sure, you know, being nice, because it's like, nigga, you don't know me, we're not going to be friends. Like, that is just something for you to say, like, you don't want to let go, whatever. He actually invited me to a day party on Sunday and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna make it. But it's also like, when I stopped fucking with people too, like, I kind of stopped fucking with people where it's like a clear cut, this is done. So I don't have any backup plans at the moment. So I've just not been having sex, which I don't love. But I'm,
so I had it. A, I recently had like a mistake hookup with somebody.
First of all, my family's texting about the family reunion. You're saying mistake hookup. What? What is that? What do you mean? Break that down.
So I had not had sex with this particular person for a while.
Okay.
And I was good with not, right? Like, part mm-hmm. of me still wanted to explore it because it was good. And so I'm like, I kind of wanted more of it just to be like, you know, a little gluttonous. Like, I should be able to enjoy this. It was good. Let's have some more. But it had been some time. So I was like, okay, it won't happen. That's cool. Fine. But just on some random shit, I don't know how it was such a mistake because I don't even know how it happened. Like, I text about something else and then it was kind of like, all right, I'm gonna pull up. And I was like, yeah, right. Because we had been, like, I had blatantly asked for dick before and it's been some hemming and hawing. And so it was like, no, I'm coming. And then they came and it was really on some like 20-minute, 30-minute smash it, get the hell out. And
enjoyable though.
And that's the problem, because that's the thing.
It's a good time.
This is the thing. I still want more. And so I think re-jumping on it was detrimental because the inconsistencies. Like, I need consistency.
It came back up.
Yeah, I need a sex contract. Like, I promise to fuck Boonie at least 2 to 3 times per week. Da-da-da-da-da. Right? Like, that's some shit I need. Or I text you like, oh my God, we don't have to do nothing. Like, I'm really at that point right now for my sanity's sake. Because sex is really a good stress reliever.
Oh, baby, we were just talking. Like, literally the week leading up to my cycle, like, I didn't know what was going on to me, but it was like, I need an orgasm every day. Like, every day I had to come. I don't give a fuck what I was doing. And you know, something else I noticed, and I think I mentioned this before, and I think it's the hormones or whatever, your levels when lifting weights.
Yes.
Horny.
So, baby, I said this to somebody, a man who works out a lot, and I was like, I be horny as fuck working out. Like, I don't know what it is, like, especially when I'm lifting weights.
Workout. Bless it all. Don't let me be doing lower body.
Yeah, like, is it the contractions?
But also, it's the hormones and the endorphins, I believe, you release during working out. Yeah, last week, every single day, I was like, you know what? I have time to blessed off because I just need it. And then something you mentioned in last episode that you said, your gyno said, as we get older, our bodies are like, oh, you have one more fucking chance to make a baby. So like, our libidos are only going higher. And it's just really,
it's not right.
Do this. Yeah.
It says women between 27 to 45 have the most strongest sex drive of their life. Yeah, and no, so I'm like, damn, we still got like 5 more years, 6 more years for this shit to keep revving up. Like, I need some nigga to rise to the motherfucking occasion. I just don't understand why it's so hard. I reciprocate. We gonna have a fun and good time, but I need the consistency. I'm gonna make a sex buddies consistency contract.
No, you should. And here's the thing. Okay. We're different in ways. We're really, like, we have similar ideals and stuff, but we're different. And I don't know what happens typically. Because I feel like when I was younger, I could have casual partners for longer. Something happens, though.
Your little cancer heart took over.
No, it don't be me.
Oh.
It don't be me.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was you.
No, it be the niggas.
Oh.
And I'd be like, you know, I'm the type of person, you know, being a cancer and whatever else, it's like, I don't have sex in different ways, per se. I'll say that. So
a lot of different ways.
Because I think a lot of times people be like, or like dudes, or you'll see the conversation go around. It's like, oh, I don't be giving, you know, grade A dick because that's not my main, whatever. Like, I'm going to fuck the way I would like to fuck whenever I fuck. Like that, it's going to be that. And I think.
Oh, we are different. I do hold back on some motherfuckers.
Yeah, I don't know if I know how to do that. I mean, I'm trying to, I'm not even going to lie. I don't know how to do that. So I think sometimes it gets confusing.
Okay.
I will have sex a certain way, but still not maybe open up and be as vulnerable as one may expect because of the way.
So some motherfuckers definitely have never seen me be nasty as shit.
I mean, okay, I'm not going to say everybody's seen me be nasty as shit, but if we do it long enough, I'm definitely going to be nasty as shit. But it's just, but for me, it's an energy thing.
For this person in particular?
Then I'm giving it right back.
Oh, now, some people I can't hold back. Some people from the jump, because I just feel the magnetic chemistry here. So sorry if you think I'm a whore afterwards, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
Now, some people, though, I don't. What does our problematic fave say? Some people I slow walk the freak with. Mm-hmm. Because for reasons. I don't know what it is, but. And I guess for me, this may sound so fucking backwards because somebody's probably listening like, Boonie, well, how can you say that, but you're fucking them? And what I'm about to say is, I think for some of them, I don't trust them.
In what way?
I don't think they have my full trust.
But trusting what? Trust in, is it a thing of talking about it? Is it a thing of safety physically? Like, as far
I think
as
it's health? More of, I don't trust them to not judge and or talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I can be the opposite where, so last year, yeah, it would have been 2023, and I was dealing with this person casually for maybe like 6 months or whatever. The first night, it was like really on some like no holds barred shit. And I'm of the mindset that if I get wild, I might make up in my mind that I have no intentions of talking to you ever again. Where it's just like, oh, that was a night. Like, that's just how I felt for the night.
That was enough. Thank you.
And I'm great.
Goodbye.
Back over here. Right. And I attempted that, but he ended up hitting me up and was like, oh, we need to do this again. And I was like, and I told him straight up, I was like, yeah, I had no intentions of speaking to you again. Like, I didn't feel like we needed to do that again. Like, it was a wild night. We had fun. Like, it was like hours, like literally till like 2-3 in the morning. Like,
oh, those were fun nights. Like, I need a night like that.
But we ended up, you know, doing this for probably like 6 months. But I think where I say the disconnect comes in is because like he also kind of like just vanished. And I was like, you know, I've been told by men that I'm hard to read. And for me, it's just like, you don't have to read me if you just ask me.
Just how fuck me. You
can just do that. But also you can ask me if there's a question because I can be honest and answer your question. But I think sometimes men are used to a certain level of attachment that might come with casual sex from women. And I just am really good at compartmentalizing all of that. That is one of my skill sets. Even though I have a Cancer heart, I'm a fucking Leo moon and a Virgo rising. So like I can really compartmentalize it where I might not be giving you that much emotionally. But if okay. I text, I'm gonna have a good time. And I think that's jarring sometimes for men. And
interesting.
They be like, I'm gonna get this bitch before she get me. And I be like, oh.
You are getting got.
Had a conversation. Like, you didn't have to like fall off the face of the earth.
But well, here's your homework assignment.
Oh God. Do I need to write this down? I hate this.
You hate this. Okay, she got a pen and a pad. No. The homework assignment, both of us.
Okay.
I need back blown out, our sweaty, nasty ass sex. That's what I need.
Adrian.
Not together. And not you saying my government.
I was like, who the fuck am I having sex with?
I don't know either. I don't know who I'm having sex with right now, but
okay.
You know,
I take the challenge. Yeah, because I am closer to the year mark than I am not.
At this point,
wait. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm closer to the year mark than I'm not, which crept up on me. I don't ever.
Once you get over them 90 days. It might as well be 3 years. Once you go
over that, it's coasting. You're coasting. And the thing is for me is that I'm never going to deny myself orgasms. Like, that's not what's happening.
So Sheika is saying, let the record motherfucking reflect that while she has not been fucked in almost a year, she has thoroughly fucked herself.
All the time. It's happening. I can make it 3 minutes. I can make it 10. It just...
Baby, let me tell you something.
You get yourself out of there in 2 minutes, you'll be like, woo.
The other night, because I was doing something for work. I was out of town for work. And I had some nerves, which is unlike me. I'm not a very anxious person. But sometimes, you know, nerves are natural.
Yeah.
And I think for this one, I had a reason why I had some nerves. But I had a little bit. And I was like, oh my God, you have to go to sleep. Like... baby, it's just amazing what you can make your body do in a minute and a half. Because I didn't pack no toys or nothing, Jesus. And and I was asleep and slept through the night.
Let me tell you something. And I rarely, this is how I knew I was on a rampage the other week. Because I'm more of a daytime selfie girl. Because a lot of times it's like, I'll be
doing, you was up at 3 a.m.
Right. And then it's like I'm working or like I work out early. And then after the workout, I'm like, okay, let me go bust and then I can get back to my day. But last week, it was right before bed. I was chilling, watching TV. And I'm like, I can't do this. So yeah. But that means I have to meet somebody. I have to do a whole lot of shit.
Or you could run back an old faithful or two.
Can I?
Maybe.
I delete niggas.
Well then don't. So I guess we'll meet. I'm gonna get that's your charge to meet somebody.
Okay, my charge to meet somebody, and then I'll think if I can run back an old faithful.
I only have like really one that I know I could run back without judgment. This recent one I would like to.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It just seems like it's too complicated.
It's just too much work. Like, I want ease.
I should be able to ease into
the penis.
My casual shit has to be easy.
I'm not jumping through hoops for dick.
I'm not good on that. Yeah, my problem is that.
But I blame my Sagittarius nature because I want more than my Sagittariusness is like, you want more. I feel unfulfilled by it because I do know that we just have not scratched the surface.
Yeah, y'all haven't really got into the... Y'all haven't had enough sex to be like...
We ain't got to the nitty-gritty.
To walk away. Yeah, my problem is I delete people's existence. Like,
yeah, I mean, some people are deleted.
Like, I'll delete your phone number. I don't know.
Some people are deleted, but there's one that I know I could hit with ease that, you know, I may just have to, you know, do a rescue 911, dick me down.
I got into it with my throwback, but I think that if I sent him an Instagram message, maybe
he's still. But yeah, look, don't be out here just making anything happen. It will come to you, will it? I believe.
Okay. Yes, I'm willing to that. Yeah,
we're not going to reject our pussies.
I've been in peace. I've been in peace mode.
Yeah, I'm not disturbing it.
I'm not disturbing my peace. You're absolutely correct. So maybe something will come in. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, the astrology girlies, things I listen to, which I need to book Mecca. I never did it when I talked to you about
the lecture. You said you were.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm going to look at her tonight and see. But I'm hearing this is the year for me to, like, relationships are coming up as more important. So I'm going to see. We're only 1 month in, and I have not been putting myself out there as much just because I've been enjoying, you know, nigger freedom.
Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part, because it just, because I do like men energy. I like being around men. Like, I have guy friends I hang out with. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I don't hate men, but getting to know niggas can be so difficult, and also getting to know niggas who want to, you know, either fuck you or whatever. They be just on some weird shit. And I just be like, yo, I don't have the energy for this game that you're playing. I like it straight up, no chasing. I know people and men all think that women who say that don't mean that. No,
they don't believe it.
They don't believe it. Please tell me, do you want to do this? Yes or no? Check a box. Maybe I'm confused. Something, but like, tell me straight up so I can know what I'm dealing with. And then I can make a conclusion of what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't believe it. Because believe my words. Believe what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. So, well, that's our homework. I'm receiving the assignment.
I won't be writing that down. I'll be writing my numbers in here. I won't be writing that down in there. See,
there's your affirmation. I am bold. I am powerful. I am sexy.
I'm worthy. I'm free. Responsible and ratchet. Yeah.
See, all there's right. Your affirmation, bitch.
Yeah. I'm going to try.
There you go. Your pussy's not a quitter. All right, friend.
Don't reject your pussy.
And that's our sign off. All right. That is it for this week's episode. I want to thank the homie Sheikah for stopping by. I want to make sure that we all hold her accountable for her homework assignment. Okay. I want each of you listening to not to reject your pussies as well. Okay. Your pussy is not a quitter. Your pussy is not a quitter. All right. Patreon gang, be sure to mark your calendars. You know, we're rolling in the Galentine's Day, so I want to see you guys all there. Hope to see some of you at the sex ed pop-up as well. It would just be so amazing to just see some of Ratcheteer gang in the audience. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You know, it helps us out a lot. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these pretty images for nothing, okay? Have a dope ass week. Thank you for listening. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. And remember, the ratchet in me will always honor the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.